You are listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. You're joined this morning by myself, Lawson. Got Joseph as well in the studio. Producer Shell on the decks, getting it done. And as well as our listeners, wherever you are. Yeah, from all over. You know, we know that all over Australia, people are tuning in and listening, potentially internationally as well. Which, man, I don't know how you could text us. I don't know if your text would come through at 0491-064-669. But if it does, that would be amazing. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning, and we are going to get into our next quiz question, if you can get that for us, Joseph.
Yes, let's look at the next question that Shell prepared for us. Samson struck down 1,000 Philistines with a donkey's what?
Okay.
So it is a part of the donkey's anatomy.
Yes.
More specifically, perhaps a part of the donkey's skeletal system that Samson used, and he struck 1,000 Philistines. What was that?
Yeah, I gotta say, you know, when you think of this part of the donkey, you know, I've never thought weapon before, but that's exactly what Samson saw. And yeah, just with incredible strength and ferocity, took down these guys. Hey, if you know the answer, 0491-064-669, that is the number to text. Of course, our prizes for this week, we've got the God Cares series, the 2-volume set, Daniel and Revelation, getting into these amazing prophetic books in the Bible, applying the awesome messages that are in them to us today, showing us how God is telling us the future, how he's revealing, you know, he's teaching us lessons from the past as well, and leading us to grow closer to him. Again, that number is 0491-064-669. Samson struck down 1,000 Philistines with a donkey's what? What part of the donkey?
Look, I will tell you that what it is not. It's not a tailbone.
Oh.
It is not a leg bone.
Mm-hmm.
It's from another part of the donkey. If you know, let us know.
0491-064-669. That is the number to text. Hey, we've got a text message here from Wayne. Wayne sent us in a few text messages this morning. I love this. I love these text messages from Wayne, because they came in at like, we're talking like 5:30 a.m., 5:40 a.m., 6 a.m. Like, this is Wayne doing his devotions in the morning, waking up with the Word of God and just reflecting, hey, these are some things that I learned. And we've got a fair bit of content here. But
shout out to Wayne.
Dude.
By the way, if you are a listener, if you have had a pearl, a golden nugget from your scriptural reading, please do share with us, and we would love to share your insights on the radio.
Absolutely. But I want to read this particular text message. He says, good morning, Lawson and Joseph and Shell, blessings. If Jennifer is on today, which she was, here's something I was reading, you know, in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 10 regarding trust, which is what we'd been covering the last couple of weeks. So Moses and Aaron went into the Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants. And it became Moses and Aaron what would happen beforehand to give them trust in him. God has told us things to come before they happen, that we may see and trust in him also. If God says it will happen, it will happen, even if it seems impossible. Hebrews 3:6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? We hold to scripture because we trust in the Lord. I want to ask you a question, Joseph. You know, it says, if we obey God's commands, we also will see miracles in our lives and be protected forever against the evil one. This is what Wayne sent in. What do you think about that sentiment?
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it is true. I think that God is doing miracles every day. All kinds of miracles. And if we are in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit, we will see more miracles than others. You know, Lawson, I'll share you a secret, a thing that I learned.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I learned is I have only one to-do list in my day.
Okay.
The one above everything else. And that is to spend time with God. If I can spend time with God in that day, doesn't matter what happens to me, humanly speaking. If I learned something new about God, if I was talking to him, if I was listening to him, because prayer is not just about talking to God, but I would even say primarily so to listen from him.
Mm.
My day is an absolute success, even if from a human perspective is an absolute failure. Now, I also learned that the opposite is also true. If from a human perspective, that day has been an incredible day, mm. everything worked out well, but I haven't learned anything from God. I haven't heard his voice. Mm. I would say that from a spiritual perspective, that day was a complete failure.
Yeah, wow.
So I liked what he's saying. He said, look, you know, God, when God tells us things, these things will happen to inspire trust in us. He continued and he said, our listener said, I should make the point that God showed Moses and Aaron the rod, that the rod would turn into a serpent beforehand. And I guess that they wouldn't fear it and wouldn't give them the trust in the Lord. It is true. Mm. If God didn't tell them beforehand that the rod is going to be transformed into a serpent, and they just threw it there and they transformed to a serpent, they would be scared.
Mm.
But the reason that they were not scared of the serpents is because they knew that God was in control.
Yeah. I think there's definitely something to be said there about the circumstances that happen around us. We live in a world of sin that I think is full of scary instances and moments that come before us. And I think, you know, beautifully, as Wayne is sharing there, something that is potentially scary. I know my girlfriend has been bit before by a snake and has survived, praise God.
Oh, wow.
And is terrified, like terrified, like sees even at the conception of a snake being there, like, hey, was that a snake? Just like immediately just hides behind me, like grabs my arm so tight, like starts shaking, you know. And that's because snakes can be really scary. And we live in a world in which really bad and terrible circumstances will happen. And even ones that God talks about, he says, hey, like, especially, you know, very end of time, we're seeing Jesus return. We're seeing the world, you know, fade away and the elements burn with fervor and heat, and those who aren't expecting it, the Bible says they're hiding in the cliffs, in the mountains. Those who aren't expecting Jesus' return, saying, hey, may the rocks fall on me to shield me from the Lord. Yet those who are following God, those who have submitted their lives to God, they're seeing the world fall apart around them. They're seeing Jesus come back with great hope and great joy. And so there's such a need to you know, and again, this is kind of using some Exodus language, but more specific. The movie about the Exodus, the children's cartoon movie, I think it's the one about Moses.
Yeah, the Prince of Egypt.
To see through heaven's eyes, to be able to look through, you know, in a way that God sees, to pray that, hey, God, enable me to see through, you know, your perspective in the situations that are happening around me, to understand, you know, what is good, what is bad, what is actually a benefit and a blessing.
Interesting. And this is why I love the book of Psalms so much. Because the book of Psalms, they have a lot of psalms that are prayers to help us deal with particularly difficult subjects. You know, one thing that I found helpful, Lawson, and you listener, is to see our lives in some ways as a mini reenactment of Christ's own life and his own sufferings. So I'll tell you, for example, if you have struggled with, you know, someone that you loved betraying you, maybe you who are listening to us, you have that happened. There's one passage in Zechariah that says, and Jesus quoted that he who ate at my table turned his foot against me.
Mm.
So Jesus is saying, hey, I know that this can be one of the deepest hurts that someone can go through. And yet God is saying, like the serpent, this may happen to you.
Mm.
And even if that happens to you, it has happened so that I have allowed it to happen. And you don't need to fear.
Mm.
You don't need to be shocked. Mm. I experienced that myself, Jesus would say to us.
Mm.
And it is important how we respond to that. Mm. Can we respond to that in a way that is glorifying of God?
Mm.
And when we realize that God is not unaware of our challenges, when we realize that God has foretold us that we would have difficulties. In this world, you will have troubles, Jesus said. It helps us to understand, instead of coming to God and saying, God, why me? Why this? Why now? We can come and say, God, how can your name be glorified through me now that we are going through this situation?
Yeah, powerful stuff. Let God use you even in tough times.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064-669.
Man, I just wanted to share one verse. I just want to share one verse on this topic that I really love. And I actually feel like in the greater Christian and theological conversation often gets used to represent something that I don't necessarily agree with. But let me just read it. This is John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, where the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Now, I've interacted with a number of Calvinists and whatnot, and often this verse is used to say, see, look, if you choose to be saved, or God chooses you to be saved, you can never, ever lose your salvation, da, 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 like, and I misspoke when I said you choose, because they're, from their perspective, they're like, no, like, God is the only one who chooses people to be saved, you know, it's only God's decision, you can't choose to be saved, you can't choose to be lost, you can't choose anything. But really, I think the powerful message here from this passage is not that you have no agency or choice and God chooses everything and whatnot, but rather it's that, hey, you know, it says here, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. When we make a decision to say, hey, I want to follow Jesus, when we listen to Jesus and to follow him, no matter how difficult the circumstances, no matter how much we suffer, and my mind goes to 2 Corinthians 10 and 11, you know, the Paul telling his testimony of constantly suffering, being beaten by his countrymen, being beaten by the Romans, you know, ending up in all kinds of difficulties. Despite all of this, he's like, hey, but my ability to connect with, to have faith in, and to be led by God was never impeded. You know, God's work in and through me was never done or finished, you know, and even in an eternal sense, you know, when Jesus comes back, when there is a complete end made of sin, there will never be something that will forcefully take me away from God.
Yes, there's nothing that can separate us from God's love, and which leads us, Lawson, to understand that if we want to be in God's arms, if we want to be worshiping God in its fullest sense, there is a response from our side, a response of faith. And that leads us into our topic for today, for our 20 million movement. And Lawson, if our listener wants to follow that Bible study guide that we follow every single day here, what can they do to access that?
Oh, they can do a number of things, but there's a few different websites that you can look up to be able to get on it. But the one that I'm on this morning, it's simply www.sabbath.school. It will be a blessing to you, www.sabbath.school. We can also send you that resource through at 0491-064-669.
There's also an app, Sabbath School app. You can look into that. It's a fantastic free Bible study guide. And today's study is entitled, Lord, Who May Abide in Your Tabernacle? And I would like to read for us Psalm 15. Now, this has some of my favorite psalms. And it says here, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who can be in your presence? Who may dwell on your holy hill? And then the answer, Lawson, what is the answer?
He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not charge. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved.
All right. Now, let's look into that. That is very powerful. And we need to make some distinctions here, Lawson Walters and Shell Southfield. Shell, I'll ask you a question, very difficult question. Does God love everyone, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, God loves everyone. However, if we are to attain an intimacy with God, if we are to be called God's friends, it's not automatic. In every relationship, there is a correspondence. The question is not if or either God loves us or not. He does. The question is, how are we going to respond to that?
Yes.
Because a worshiper of God is not an automatically worshiper of God. If you're singing, if you're going to the church, or just because God loves you, to worship God, to surrender to him, the person that is a true worshiper of God, and this is important because Jesus says, my Father is looking for those who worship God in spirit and in truth. And this psalm is highlighting what are the characteristics, the qualities of a person that not only is loved by God, but understanding the love of God, we respond to God's love with worship. And this is the characteristics. It's about doing the right actions, righteousness. I'll give a definition of righteousness that I love.
Yes.
Righteousness is doing the right thing, the right way, with the right motivations in the right time. Now, God is righteous. All of his actions throughout history were the right actions, in the right way, in the right time, with the right intent. Us, we're growing in that.
Yes.
Right? Every day, if we abide in Jesus, we're growing that. But not only that, it's not only about actions, but it's also about the character, the heart. So let's read Psalm 15 slowly so we can understand that. So who will stand in God's presence?
Yeah, it says...
That's an important thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's the first item, Lawson?
It says, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks in the truth in his heart.
Okay, so let us break down, shall we? He who walks with integrity. What is integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one's watching.
Yeah.
Now, God is always watching. We sing to our children, right? Be careful, little hand, what do you do? Because our loving Father is watching down in love. So this is number one thing. Integrity. But integrity is not only doing this, oh, because God is watching me. It's because it's the right thing to do. So that's the number one thing. The second thing is works righteousness. So do the right thing. Do justice. Yesterday we spoke about standing up that, you know, against bullying, for example, in schools or in the workplace. The Christian should be the person who's saying, this is not all right. This is not right. It's the person that also speaks truth in his heart, being honest with yourself and being truthful to others. How difficult it is. But a worshiper of God is a person who will be speaking the truth. You know, Lawson, there is one thing called the last 10%. Have you heard about the last 10%?
Are we talking about like the law of marginal gains?
No.
Like that things get more difficult? Or what's the last 10%?
I'll tell you. Usually in speeches, in human interactions, we would say 90% of what is in our heart or what we think. However, for families, for teams to work in harmony, for churches, we need to adapt a culture they call the last 10%, is awesome. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a last 10% conversation. Tell me the last 10% of things that you're holding back.
Ooh, the deep
because
stuff.
Yeah. If I trust you, if I believe that you have my best interest in mind, I'll say, no, Lawson, okay. The truth may hurt, but it's a hurt that heals. And if you're speaking it from a perspective of helping, that's something that we should listen. So a person, a follower of God is a person that speaks truth in his heart. And because his heart is speaking truth, he's able to listen to truth and he's able to speak the truth as well.
Yeah, I've heard a similar thing, last 10%. I've heard it as like the four levels of conversation, which is like you've got surface level conversation, like small talk. And then under that, you talk about interest. Then under that, you talk about like deep desires. And then finally, the deepest level of conversation that is the most reserved is the things that you... The honest truth about the things that you maybe don't desire.
Yeah.
And you probably know this being in a marital relationship as well. And you're like that the deepest conversations have and the most difficult is, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. And even furthermore, maybe this is what I'm struggling with us, with you, with our future, with what we believe. But this is the place that we want to come to be able to open up in truth with the people who we genuinely love.
Yes.
And I feel like, the primary example is with God. I feel like God is the one that should. God knows everything about us. But if anything, oftentimes our prayers can become shallow and we become hesitant, to talk to God and to really reach
and
Him.
And may I add something, Lawson? I think that you're in the money here. Mm. Because friend, listener, if you are struggling with sin, you know what's the one of the best things you can do?
Mm.
Tell that to God. God,
amen.
I am sinning. I want to sin. I think that sin is good, but I don't want to do it. Help me.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We have listened to Randy Travis, We Fall Down, mm-hmm. from the album Worship and Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And now coming back to our encounter with God, but before we jump in our Bible study, Lawson Walters.
Yes.
What is the fifth question of the day?
Okay, we have a fill in the blank here. And guys, if you've been listening to The Breakfast Show throughout this week, you have to know the answer. Here we go. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord, blank, 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 and his praise in the assembly of saints. Again, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord, blank, 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 and his praise in the assembly of saints. If you know the answer to that one, again, we've been covering this topic in our Bible study throughout this week. 0491-064-669 is the number to text. And if you text with the correct answer, you'll go into the draw for the 2-volume God Cares set. Daniel and Revelation, amazing commentaries and
Lawson Walters, you are being mean.
Why? How am I being mean?
This is a very difficult fill in the blank. There's 3 blanks there. Can you give any tips to our listener?
So we're doing the Psalms, obviously, for our Bible study.
Okay.
It was like the primary verse in an early Bible study.
But
this
Psalms
week.
Are big.
They're,
is there
right.
any particular Psalm that you can look for?
Okay, so if you go to Psalm 140 something. Should I say Psalm 149? That's where you'll find the answer to this one. Okay. I am mean to the listeners. I'm trying to challenge
them to stretch their biblical knowledge.
Absolutely.
I get that.
Help them to use that big brain that they've got in their head. But hey, look, Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Blank, blank, blank.
Wouldn't that be sing to the Lord and
Hey, slow down, Joseph. Sing to the Lord, blank, 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 and his
Muting
praise
Joseph right
in
now,
the assembly. Dude, we're gonna kick this guy out because he's just giving it all away.
Can I say what it is not?
Okay.
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 Well, Shell, our producer, is
Vetoing
me.
That's right.
So I will yield.
Psalm 149. Hey, again, that number 0491-064-669. Now, getting back to our Bible study, Psalm 15, and considering who it is that is dwelling in the
yes.
tabernacle.
Who
the Lord.
Are the true worshipers of God?
Mm.
Who are those who are worshiping God in spirit and truth? Well,
yeah.
There is very practical realities here. One of them, I want to say Psalm 15, verse 3.
Mm.
Psalm 15, verse 3. Can you read it for us,
yeah.
Lawson Walters?
He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend.
Okay, let's just pause here. We saw a few things of do, and now we're seeing a list of don'ts. Now, I love the don'ts, because the don'ts is not so much about earning God's favor by doing things, but it's more really not doing that which will remove us from him.
Yeah.
Or take us away from him. Now, he says a few things. Number one, does not slander, my translation says, with his tongue. Mm. So, Lawson, I must confess, I am a sinner in recovery. I'm trying, but you know, I have spoken evil against people in the back before, and I hate to admit that. And I say, God help me. You know, one thing, something happened. I was going to say something, you know, about someone else that was not positive. To a friend of mine, the person says, whoa, 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 stop right there in your tracks. I'll stop you right there. Have you spoken to that? I can see that you were hurt, or I can see that you have a difference with that person. Have you spoken to that person already to try to resolve that? If the answer is yes, then yes, you go ahead. So if you need my help for us to do a Matthew 18 and go together and talk to them, great. If not, you go first, talk to them, and then you come back and we talk about it. Otherwise, this is slandering. Slandering against our brother behind their back, it's something that God hates.
Mm.
There's no other words. I would love to say it's something that God does not recommend. No. It's something that he says a worshiper of God does not do that.
Mm.
So nor does evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his friends. So that's one very important thing. You know, Lawson communities, families, businesses, churches have been torn apart by evil slandering, by gossiping. This is why it's so important that we need to have in our churches, in our families, in our workplaces, the less 10%. You know, you come up to a person, hey, can I have a less 10% conversation with you?
Mm.
And I'm saying this because I want to see our relationship being restored. And you know what is the opposite? Shell Southwell, do you know what is the opposite of conflict?
Peace?
Yeah, peace.
It's harmony. Not peace. It's not harmony. I'll tell you what it is. No. The opposite of conflict. It's a tricky question. I tricked you guys. Question. But I'll tell you something. You're going to say, oh, wow. The opposite, listener. Of conflict.
Wait, I want to try one more time. Would it be like consistency?
Okay. Okay, you're getting there. You're getting close. But I would say that the opposite of conflict is not harmony. It's not peace. But it is artificial harmony.
Let me explain.
Excuse me?
Let me explain
artificial harmony.
Artificial harmony. Conflicts, wherever there is people... Whenever there's two or three gathered in my name, there will be some kind of conflict. Wherever there's human beings, there will be conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Shall you are married, happily so, I know you and your husband. And do you have conflict from time to time?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's not about not having conflict. It's about resolving them, talking through them. So the only way that you will not have conflict if you have an artificial harmony where, you know what, you're ignoring. You're sweeping it under the rug. So for us to have a real harmony, we need to have conflict, but deal with them properly.
Yeah.
I like, I listened to Jordan Peterson's marriage thingy that he did, and he talked about how compromise is often what people consider to be a really good thing in marriage, but it's not. Because if you're compromising, that means somebody's had to give and somebody's gotten to take. And in marriage, it shouldn't be that. You should be able to come to a decision together, work it out so that you're both happy.
Yes.
You know, if you're trying to decide on where to put the scissors, I think he says, you know, and you want them in the kitchen drawer and he wants them someplace else, you know, you have to decide, you have to make a decision. And if they end up in the kitchen drawer, when he goes to get them every time, he's going to always remember, yeah, this is where she wanted them, you know?
Yeah, yes.
So if you decide together, you know, it's a harmony.
Yeah.
That is a true harmony in the sense of what you're talking about.
It's not shying away from conflict, but talking through these things, you know, and not slandering, not talking bad before, because this is only going to produce artificial harmony. Shell, thanks. This is true wisdom, you know, to our listeners and to all of us.
Absolutely. And we've been talking about this in the context of worshiping. And I love it here. Again, considering the fact it's like, who can stand in the tabernacle? Who can be a part? And the question there is, you know, who can stand in the tabernacle before the Lord, but also in the community of God? And it's all about the way that we treat our neighbors, the way that we treat our fellow men, because it reveals our love for God, our relationship with God. And I really, you know, it always brings my mind to one of my favorite passages, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, where the Bible says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome."
Yes.
You know, again, our love for God, the litmus test is our love for people. And the standard by which that litmus test is administered is through his commandments. You know, because his commandments, not killing people, not stealing, not lying, you know, not treating with contempt and whatnot. It's all reflective of, you know, God is wanting us to have a positive interaction with other people, and that enables us to be a part of his community, which, again, you know, we very much advocate. If you're not a part of a church, if you're not a part of a community of God, this is something you really need to get on, because it is just such a huge blessing.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we have come to a time in which we ask no more questions, but we only give answers, and we bless you, you know, being able to know what it was that we were asking about. Hey, let's get through some of them now, Joseph.
Lawson, we asked how many of Jesus' 12 disciples were mentioned as being at the cross when he was crucified. Now, the Bible does not tell us how many were actually there.
Mm.
You know, we believe that it could be as much as all 11 of them, excluding, of course, Judas Iscariot. Mm. But the Bible only mentions one.
Yeah. The passage is in John chapter 19. It says in verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And then continuing in verse 27, it says, and to the disciple who said, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Now, when it says the disciple whom he loved, who are we talking about here?
Talking about John. This is a reference to John the Revelator, John the Gospel writer. He refers to himself, most likely, in these books as the apostle whom Jesus loved.
Yeah. Why do you think he did that? Was, you know, I think some people have read this and said, oh, man, why is he trying to obscure his identity here? Why doesn't he just say, me?
Look, it was a common thing, Lawson, in the Gospels, for the writer not to make speak too highly of themselves. Mm. You know, you look, for example, at the Gospel of Mark, who's really the Gospel of Peter.
Mm.
Mark was the person who was writing it. So that's why when you look at the Gospel of Mark, you will never see any positive story about Peter. You know, Peter walking on the water, Peter just saying great things. This is in Matthew, you see that in John, you see that in Luke. You don't see that in Mark. So, but at the same time, what John wants to say is that, you know, he feels like he is the beloved disciple. And we should be feeling that as well, because God's relationship with each one of us is quite unique.
Mm.
So yeah, next, absolutely. Go to the next question. In the book of Revelation, the Lord God said that he is the Alpha and the
Omega.
Yeah, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Which in Greek, it looks like the Omega looks like a little W, but it has the sound like O. You know, associated with it.
And you asked about, you know, what is there any association between the Tav and Omega? And I said, now, sound wise, not the Tav in the, that's the last letter of the Greek, of the Hebrew alphabet, it's the sound is T, as opposed to Omega, which is an O. However, when you look at them, writingly, they actually look strikingly similar.
Ah.
So a Tav looks like an Omega. So an Omega looks like a little bit of like a ring with an opening in the bottom part, and the Tav is the same, but it's squared, not so much a rounded symbol. All right, and of course, they both represent the beginning and the last.
Yeah.
Okay, so God is the beginning, he's the creator, he's the initiator of all things, the Omega means that he all things are for him, for his glory. Okay, next one, the book of Numbers, whose staff budded and produced almonds.
Yeah, it was Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting story there, you know.
Interesting story.
Stuff, yeah.
God is confirming the leadership.
Yeah.
You know, one of the questions of the crowd was, oh, you should not be leaders with us. All can be leaders before God. And God said, no. I have appointed leaders and you are to respect their authority.
Mm.
Okay, number four. Samson struck down 1,000 Philistines with a donkey's what?
It was with his jawbone. The donkey's jawbone, which again, like I have not seen since, you know, anyone making weapons out of donkey's jawbones. Maybe people do. Maybe there's something that they take from it, but this guy is just getting around and just smacking everyone.
And that is a theme, Lawson, in the Bible. God calls us to do what he tells us with whatever we have at hand. Mm. He's not waiting. So is God calling you, listener, to do something? Maybe you're waiting to have something to do that. You know what? Just what is your job on? What is readily available to you that you can go and do it? Because, you know, the Lord will provide.
Mm.
When he calls you to do not hesitate. Go in faith.
Yeah.
Where is your job on? Now, last question. Fill in the blank. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord what, Lawson?
A new song.
A new song. And he's praising the Assembly of Saints. We were talking extensively about that. Mm. A new song is a song of a new thing that God is doing in your life. It's a song of perhaps an old thing that God has done that you're seeing with a new heart. It's perhaps a new experience that you're having. But God is worthy to be worshipped and honored, not only because of the things that he has done in the remote past, but for the very things that he's doing right here, right now. So when we come to our churches, to our assemblies, we're not only to talk about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but what he is doing in our lives right now. Lawson Walters.
And we have quickly come to the end of the show this morning.
Not without something to our prized listeners. We have a giveaway item today, Lawson.
Yes. What do we have? We have the book At Jesus's Feet by Doug Batchelor, The Gospel of Mary Magdalene. Now, this is not the Gnostic Gospel of Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
You know, this wasn't written in like 200, 300 AD by some interesting Gnostic people. No, this is written by Doug Batchelor, who is very alive and well and written recently, about the experience that Mary Magdalene had learning from Jesus as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, as someone who had been through some very extreme difficulties and trials in her life, but now was having the experience of renewal and reformation and redemption through Christ. This book is amazing. We want to give it to you for free. Our number is 0491-064-669.
And what's the keyword for today?
Oh, text us that number. Text us the word Mary. If you're the first person to text through Mary, we give you that book absolutely for free.
Fantastic book. I believe that Mary deserves so much more airtime than we give her, because she is so much spoken about, her faith, her simplicity, her devotion to Christ in the Gospels. And we should definitely honor that more, you know, getting to imitate her.
Now, absolutely.
Thank you very much. You listen to The Breakfast Show at Faith FM. And remember to talk faith, live faith, act faith, and you will grow strong in Jesus Christ.
Amazing programming coming up after this, guys. Stay tuned.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.